Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Yes, welcome in. Another action-packed, fun-filled edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We want to start off tonight's show by wishing the Ohio State Buckeyes the best of luck tonight. Oh, yeah, O-H-I-O, baby, as the Buckeyes are taking on the Oregon Ducks in the national championship game. That game down in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. That should be a lot of fun. And by the time we're wrapping things up tonight here on this show, that game will likely be just kicking off. So we're glad you could make us a part of your evening tonight. I am Nick Camino with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. As always, a busy time in the world of sports with a lot of sports. The NFL playoffs were great this weekend. The college football championship game is tonight. The NBA going on, college hoops. And we recognize that there's a lot going on. But Major League Baseball, always busy. The Tribe, always staying busy. This is your one-stop shop for baseball talk. We will continue that tonight. Because before you know it, man, we're going to have Tribe Fest here. Spring training will follow that. And soon enough, the 2015 Cleveland Indians baseball season will be here before you know it. It's amazing how after the calendar flips, and I've heard other people talk about this, but I've always felt this way, but I've heard other people talk about it too. Once the calendar flips to the month of January, it's amazing how fast time flies and how quickly baseball is upon us. It really is. You know, you have the holidays, and then after the holidays, it's amazing how quickly things get here and baseball gets here in spring training and the season. So a lot to do tonight. As always, we'll update you on the latest news and happenings from around Major League Baseball. The Indians staying busy, hoping to improve their ball club. We'll update you on all of that. We'll also be joined by Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, Tom Hamilton's play-by-play partner in the booth. You also hear Jim on Indians warm up before each game and on Tribe Talk. He will actually join us next segment. We've got some good information for you on Tribe Fest. I know I mentioned that, but that's coming up on January 24th and January 25th down at Progressive Field. That's not this upcoming weekend. That's the following weekend. A great opportunity for you to meet Indians players and just kind of set you up for the 2015 season. That kind of gets you ready. It's great prep. Also, some good info on spring training as well. And we'll hear from new Tribe bullpen coach Jason Barre. I know that he was hired last week, but we haven't had a chance to hear from him. So we'll hear from Jason Barre as well. So it's a busy night for us as usual here on the show. Excited to be with you and happy that you could join us. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Our countdown to spring training continues. Nick Camino here with you. It is the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
The 1-0. Swung on, bouncing ball up the middle, and there it is. Base hit into center field. Number 200 on the season for Michael Brantley, who does not show a whole lot of emotion very often, but that time, the hands to the sky, a great moment for him, and a standing O from the fans.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, we're now joined by Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. You get a chance to hear him on every game with Tom Hamilton, play-by-play man. You also hear him on Indians warm-up before each and every game and on the weekends on Tribe Talk. Does a great job. Glad that he could join us right now. As a matter of fact, coming up later in the show, we'll listen in to Jim's conversation with Jason Barre, the new Indians bullpen coach. Hey, Jim, listen, it's been a while since we've been able to chat on the air, and I'm glad you could join us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Nick. Appreciate it.
I don't know if it's just me or if or what it is, but it seems like when the calendar flips to the next year, every single year it does this. You have the holidays and you have some of the off season after the World Series. It seems like after the first of the year, and we're now into the middle of January, it just seems like things really pick up now for spring training, and Tribe Fest is coming up, and before you know it, the 2015 season will be here, you know?
Yeah, and it's amazing because you slow down a little bit in the fall, and even though there's some pretty good baseball news with the winter meetings, and I think this year in particular, I was reading there's been more transactions this year than in recent memory by a lot, but then you turn after New Year's and you start counting up weekends, and there's not many left till spring training begins. And, you know, before long, the fans here will start seeing those date lines from Goodyear, Arizona, and and all kinds of actual baseball activity going on, and then we'll be talking about any roster battles and position battles that the Indians may have.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned those transactions, and surely there's been a ton around Major League Baseball, but boy, specifically in the American League Central Division, not only have the Indians been pretty active, but you look across the board, a team like the Chicago White Sox, it seems like Detroit is always busy. There's been some teams throughout this whole division that have really tried to improve their 25-man roster, heck, and just tried to beef up their minor leagues. There's a lot of teams doing some things, right, Rosie?
Every team in the division. I mean, you mentioned the two. I think the general consensus is that of all the teams in baseball, maybe the White Sox improved the most, certainly in the division. And that's saying a lot because you look at the amount of moves that San Diego, Oakland, and Tampa Bay have all made. They seem to make a trade a week, have something going on. But in the division, the White Sox have done a bunch to shore up their bullpen and add some pop to their lineup. And even the Twins have done some nice things this offseason. Particularly, I think, for them, a team in desperate need of starting pitching, adding Irvin Santana to the fold for them. So a lot of teams doing a lot. I think the Indians, by comparison in terms of actual transactions involving major leaguers, they would be at the bottom of that list. But I think that as much as anything else, that's a testament to where they are with their key players. The Indians' key players are signed long-term. The players that they're counting on, and the strengths of their team, they're young, they're signed for the long term, and so as a result, I don't think you saw the Indians do as much as some of the other teams did. So, but any way you look at it, there's a ton of movement throughout baseball, and in particular, the American League Central, and you can make a case in the American League this year that the Central Division will be the toughest division.
We're talking with Jim Rosenhaus. You hear him all along the Cleveland Indians radio network throughout the season and the offseason with Tribe Talk. Indians play-by-play man, him and Tom Hamilton, do a great job. Jim, people ask me about the Indians offseason and my thoughts on it, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts. I thought going in the two needs were getting another starting pitcher, a guy who can eat up some innings, and a middle-of-the-order, versatile run producer, and seems like they checked off both of my items in getting Gavin Floyd and Brandon Moss. Your thoughts on what they've been able to do?
Well, they did check those off. And I think from a pure statistical standpoint, from Moss's perspective, the last 3 years have been tremendous. I mean, there's more than 70 home runs in three seasons playing your home games in Oakland, which is not easy. And then, Gavin Floyd, I think, is someone who has proven in the past that he can be a very, very much that innings-eating type veteran starter. Now, on the flip side, what's the catch, so to speak? And both are coming off of injury, and they need both of them to be healthy. The Indians' medical staff is tremendous in terms of the diligence that they do researching and trade situations to make sure that they're not getting goods that are damaged, so to speak, and they have full confidence that both players were far enough along at the time of their trades in terms of rehab and things like that, and then the prognosis for full recovery was strong enough that they felt very confident in pulling the trigger on those trades. And I think both will be key parts of the Indians this season, both from a pitching standpoint and then also from the offensive standpoint.
We had a chance to catch up with Terry Francona last week after he announced that Jason Beret was hired to the staff as the new bullpen coach, taking over for Kevin Cash. And two of the things he spoke to, the first was Jason Kipnis and the fact that he is coming back off a season. Let's not forget, in 2013 he was an all-star, but this past season he certainly struggled. It was a down year for him, but he said, listen, he expects him to come back with a vengeance. We know that he had the off-season injury while lifting weights in the weight room getting ready for the 2015 season, but he's expected to be back by opening day 2015. Rosie, I imagine you're in agreement with Terry Francona that this kid is a big part of what the Indians want to do, and if they want to get to where they want to be, he's going to have to be a big part of that, right?
And you know what, Nick, I think very few good major leaguers don't have at least 1 year that just doesn't go well. And Jason Kipnis had that last year. For the most part, his career has been very solid and someone that the Indians felt comfortable enough to invest a lot of years in contract wise and lock him up because they believe in the kid. And there's no question. If you were to have Jason Kipnis on right now, he'd probably tell you last year was just a bad year. And then there's no sugarcoating it. He had a bad year by his standards. And I would be shocked, and I don't know how much of a setback the finger injury is going to be in terms of his off-season preparation. It certainly sounds like he won't swing the bat as much as he normally does. But if he can do some things workout-wise and preseason preparation-wise to get his body in a spot where it needs to be in terms of increasing speed and quickness defensively, and then shoring up any oblique issues that he had last year, from a pride standpoint alone, you're looking at a pretty darn good competitor right there. And I would be shocked if he did not come back and have the type of season that I think we've seen from Jason Kipnis before.
And the last thing we'll leave you with is another thing that Francona touched on last week. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on this whole situation. You've got basically 2-3 spots, right field, first base, and DH. But you've got a lot of names for those spots. You've got Brandon Moss, who we talked about. David Murphy, obviously still in the mix. Nick Swisher, Ryan Rayburn. Let's not forget Carlos Santana. There are a lot of names there. But I think, as you know, Jim, and I think you'll agree, with spring training being so long and with the season going as long as it is, these things do tend to work themselves out. We might not have the answer here on the night of, January 12th, but these things will work themselves out.
And that's the key. You look outside, there's snow on the ground. I mean, here we are. It's mid-January. I mean, the possibilities of what could happen between now and opening day are endless, whether it be injury, a couple of the players you named in there, Swish in particular, coming back from an injury. You know, how do they come back? Will he be ready for opening day? Will Brandon Moss be ready for opening day? Could something happen between now and then? Don't rule out some sort of transaction between now and then. So, I think we could definitely revisit this on opening day and have very much a different picture. But even if all those principles are still involved, I think the way Terry Francona looks at it is that's a position of strength in numbers, and there are certain times where you don't mind having a little bit extra, and the way he loves to mix and match. I know we talked about it so much with the bullpen, but he mixes and matches with his lineup too. I'm sure he doesn't mind having an extra bat or two around, and he'll figure it out.
All right, Jim. Hey, listen, we really appreciate the time. It's always fun catching up with you. We love hearing you and Tom Hamilton on all the broadcasts. You guys do a tremendous job. We'll be seeing you down in spring training. You know what? Coming up here later in the show, we're going to hear your conversation with Jason Bure, new Tribe bullpen coach. I know he's a guy you're very familiar with. This is a nice addition to the staff, right?
It is, and it's a name that probably Indians fans haven't heard that much of regarding the front office, but he's been a special assistant since 2005. So a pretty lengthy period of time where his knowledge of every pitcher in the system is pretty high. And I think that's going to be a real nice advantage for the Indians as he transitions into an on-field responsibility.
All right, Jim, great stuff. We'll see you down at Tribe Fest, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
That's Jim Rosenhaus. You hear him here on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. You hear him on Saturdays with Tribe Talk. You hear him throughout the season broadcasting games. Him and Tom Hamilton, they do a great job. You also hear him on Indians Warm-Up, the pregame show on the Indians Radio Network before each and every Tribe game. Wanted to get into all of that with Rosie. I think all of this stuff is going to be pretty intriguing to see how it works out. That spot, right field, DH, first base, how that all works out. A lot of names there. The starting pitching rotation will be interesting to see how that sorts itself out. Maybe a couple of jobs open in the Tribe's bullpen, which brings back a lot of familiar faces and arms. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all works itself out during spring training. Not too many question marks, but there are going to be some jobs that need to get figured out. I think there's going to be some jobs that need to really get figured out. And another one, you can just say, DH first base. If Santana's your everyday first baseman, what changes at DH? You're going to have to DH him sometimes. You've got a couple of names that play right field. Will Swisher see more time out there? David Murphy is a guy who's coming off of some injuries. Brandon Moss is a guy who's coming off of some injuries. So there's going to be some things to sort out The good news is there's not too many question marks. I've always said when you go into spring training, the more questions you have, well, probably not as good a team as you're going to be. And, you know, sometimes you see exceptions to that rule. But I think the Indians feel really good about the pieces they have. They have a young core of players. They've added some veterans to the mix. They have some young talent as well. And when you get that combination, that's great moving forward. When you can get that combination of guys, the right pieces in place, veterans, young kids, and guys that are in their prime, that's a great way to go into a season, and the Indians are hoping to do that. They've got their coaching staff all figured out. Terry Francona, we know, is back in the fold, so this is going to be a fun 2015. And as we mentioned at the beginning of that with Jim, boy, you look at what's going on around the American League Central Division. It's been one of the busier divisions, maybe the toughest division in Major League Baseball now. So the Indians going to have their work cut out for them, absolutely. All right, what we're going to do is take a quick timeout. When we come back here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly, we will look around Major League Baseball, not only what the Tribe has done, but some news and notes from around Major League Baseball. We'll also still hear from Jason Beret. Keep things locked right here. It is Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Nick Camino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Stay right there.
Deep into the lower deck, swung out and hammered, deep right, and no doubt about it, blast to right, makes a sensational catch, a swing and a miss, looking up and it is gone, lined right base hit into left center field, away back and way out of here, gets up, throws, got him again, oh what a play.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, just past the halfway point here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Coming up on the show, we will hear from new Tribe bullpen coach Jason Beret. Terry Francona announcing last week the addition to his coaching staff. Beret takes over for Kevin Cash, who was hired at the beginning of December to be the new manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. As you know already, Cash takes over for Joe Maddon. Seems like he was there forever in St. Petersburg. He's the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. This is our news and notes portion of the program. We'd like to update you on some things not only going on with the Cleveland Indians, but with the other 29 clubs throughout Major League Baseball. Last week, we touched on this a ton, the Hall of Fame votes that were tallied from the Baseball Writers Association of America. We found out which guys are going into Cooperstown, into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Four guys going in this year, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio. We heard from those guys last week, but just to kind of tell you again who was going in, three of those guys were first ballot Hall of Famers, Johnson, Martinez, and Smoltz. Biggio got in. This was his third time on the ballot, and we've had this discussion before. I don't know what changes to make you a Hall of Famer in 3 years where you didn't play. The first two times Craig Biggio was on the ballot, he didn't get in. This year he did. As we told you, Smoltz, Martinez, and Johnson were first ballot Hall of Famers, but I've never really understood that. But I mean, I don't have a vote. I don't have a say in this, but it's always interesting to me that a guy couldn't, you know, won't play anymore. He's a Hall of Famer 1 year, but not another year. The same thing happened for tons of years with Burt Blyleven, who eventually got in. He got in 2011 with Roberto Alomar, two former members of the Indians. Some of the notable guys that did not get in include Tim Raines, Lee Smith, Edgar Martinez, and Mike Piazza. It was interesting, though, both Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson have kind of gone on the campaign trail almost to get more votes for Edgar Martinez. They feel he deserves more recognition. And I got to say, he's probably maybe the best designated hitter of all time. Let's get you caught up with some news that's been going on. After Terry Francona met with the media last week on a conference call to announce the hiring of Jason Beret as the new bullpen coach, he did field some questions about his 2015 ball club. Two of those spots include right field, first base, and also even DH. So I guess three spots where you've got tons of guys right now. You've got newly acquired Brandon Moss, who came over from on a trade from the Oakland Athletics. You have Nick Swisher coming back from some injuries, David Murphy, Carlos Santana, even Ryan Rayburn. That's a lot of names for only two, three spots. But when you think of some of these guys and some of the health concerns that they've had over the last couple of years, and there's only so many bats to go around. Terry Francona feels like these are the things that will work themselves out as spring training camp commences and continues for 6-7 weeks, starting in the middle of February in Goodyear, Arizona. So he's not too worried about that. Francona also speaking about his second baseman, Jason Kipnis, who was an all-star in 2013, but had a tough season a year ago. He feels like Kipnis is going to be coming back with a vengeance, perhaps hoping to prove something on the comeback trail. He did suffer an off-season finger injury lifting weights in this offseason, but it sounds like he'll be good to go by opening day. He's going to be a big, big part of what the Indians need to do. And if the Indians want to get to where they're hoping to, they're definitely going to need Jason Kipnis. By now, you've heard of the four spots already locked up in the Tribe starting pitching rotation, but just to kind of rehash that, sounds like only one spot will be available heading into spring training camp. One spot in that starting rotation to win. And these things can change, but for now it sounds like Corey Kluber, in no specific order, Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, and newly signed right-hander Gavin Floyd, those will be the four guys who will open the season in the Indians starting rotation. Battling it out for the fifth and final spot will be guys like Danny Salazar, Josh Tomlin, Zach McAllister, and TJ House. That's another part of this team that will work its way out as spring training continues. All right, let's look at some other news from around the big leagues. Buster Olney of ESPN, national baseball writer, he ranked the top 10 starting pitching rotations in Major League Baseball, and the Indians came in at number 10 on that list. That's pretty impressive. News-wise, Johan Santana, you remember him, the veteran lefty? He wants to pitch in 2014 for a Major League club. The lefty is playing winter ball with a Venezuelan team. He's hoping to get picked up by a club in MLB. The Pittsburgh Pirates signed South Korean shortstop Jung-ho Kang to a four-year deal today. That's worth a reported $16 million. He's one of the best players from the South Korean national team. Last season alone, he had 46 homers, and he had a .356 batting average in South Korea. Obviously, the big question with him will be whether that can translate to the big leagues here in the States. Jason Wirth, outfielder for the Washington Nationals, he's going to miss 2-3 months after having arthroscopic shoulder surgery. The Chicago Cubs signed free agent outfielder Chris D'Onofrio to a one-year deal. And I wanted to tell you before we head over and take a quick time out before we listen to Jason Bray, don't forget, Tribe Fest is coming up. Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. Tribe Fest, January 24th and January 25th. That's at Progressive Field. You're not going to want to miss that. And you can purchase tickets at Indians.com right now. That's going to save you some money instead of buying tickets at the gates, which you can do, but you save money by doing that at Indians.com right now. A great chance for you to meet Tribe players and prep for the 2015 season. And spring training tickets are already on sale. You could check out Goodyear Ballpark in Arizona, the Tribe's player development complex there. I've been going there for 6 years now. It's really been fun to see. You won't regret that. You can get a pretty cheap round trip flight out there right now. You want to see where the Indians train for the 2015 season. Beautiful facilities out there. Tribe Fest, as I mentioned, January 24th and 25th. You won't want to miss that. Great opportunity to get autographs, meet Tribe players. We'll be doing some radio shows from there that you can check out firsthand. You can tour the home clubhouse, sign an honorary contract, get your haircut from the team barber. A lot of great activities going on down at Progressive Field next weekend. When we come back, we will hear from new Indians bullpen coach Jason Bray. Jim Rosenhaus had a chance to catch up with him a few days ago. And then we'll wrap things up here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly, another edition going by very fast. We have a lot of fun on this show. It's fast moving. We get a lot in, and it's always fun to bring you the news and notes from around Major League Baseball and with your Cleveland Indians. We'll take a quick timeout. Nick Camino here with you. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly, all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, before we get out of here for the night, wanted you to hear from the Indians' new bullpen coach, Jason Bray. We talked with Jim Rosenhaus earlier, Indians play-by-play man, who you hear in the booth with Tom Hamilton. Also hear him on the Indians warm-up show throughout the baseball season. Rosie does a tremendous job. It's always fun catching up with him. Well, he had a chance to check in with new Indians bullpen coach Jason Bure. And we know that this news already came down last week, but we haven't had a chance to hear from JB. Bure spent some time with the Indians, also spent some time with the Chicago White Sox. He takes over for Kevin Cash, who was the Indians bullpen coach for the first couple of years in this Terry Francona regime. But Kevin Cash just being hired at the beginning of December as the new manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. He will definitely be missed, but Jason Bure is a nice addition. He's been with the Indians organization since 2005 in a role helping out with the minor leagues and helping out with the front office a little bit. So this is a organization that he's familiar with, a team that he's familiar with, and a lot of the arms in that bullpen are guys he's familiar with, even the starters. So let's hear from Jason Bure. Jim Rosenhaus caught up with him recently on Tribe Talk. Want you to hear that, and then we'll wrap things up for the night. Here's Jim Rosenhaus with Jason Bure. I think the first thing Jim asked him was about taking on this job and the family aspect, how there's definitely a time commitment now being the bullpen coach for the Tribe, but obviously a tremendous opportunity.
Well, I think that's, you know, like you said, that's definitely the crucial part to it. The role that I was in, like you said, I was afforded the opportunity to be home and travel out to go visit the numerous teams, once or twice a month. So that part will be an adjustment. But, as we discussed before, having the opportunity to be part of a staff that's already in place that I get along with and, we're pretty like-minded, I'm definitely looking forward to the opportunity.
How much of an impact do you think you can have working within that framework of Mickey Callaway being the pitching coach and Terry Francona as the manager from your angle out there in the bullpen? What do you think you can bring to aid this staff throughout the season?
Well, I think first and foremost would be, experiences. It's kind of just doing the similar job to what I was doing, but on a full-time basis. Being there as a sounding board and maybe a voice of reason through prior experiences that I've either had as a player or the past few years in the organization, evaluating some of our pitches in the minor league system. I have a relationship with pretty much all of these guys on the pitching side of things, whether it's one of these kids that's already in the big leagues that I've seen since A ball or somebody that we've traded for, like a Trevor Bauer, and had relationships with him the past couple of years in the minor leagues. And being there the last two Septembers, I think, has really helped to see how things operate on a daily basis up at that level. Because it is different from playing and, now being on the staff. So there are some differences, but, I think I'm prepared for it and ready to do it.
And you look at the title, and it's bullpen coach, but I think we saw with Kevin Cash that it can be much more than that if you wanted to, and you talked about working with Trevor Bauer. So, yes, you spend the games out in the bullpen, but you really work with the whole staff, don't you?
Yeah, that's a credit to the staff, I think. There aren't any egos. Mickey and I have a great relationship. We've talked at length over the past couple of years about certain situations, and like I said, that's a credit to him that he doesn't have an ego. It's about getting the most out of the player and whatever resources you can use to have that happen. Everyone on the staff is willing to do that.
Jason Bure joining us, announced as Indians bullpen coach earlier this week, and Jason, you will be spending the games in the bullpen, and I know most bullpen coaches, they try and make sure that it's a good place and that the pitchers are ready to go when they are called upon, and do you have an idea on what type of tone you'd like to set out there during the games?
Well, luckily for me, it's a unit that's already in place, that's already up and running. It's had success, obviously, the past few years, so... if anything, it's more about me fitting into what they've already been doing, and having that balance of, there's different personalities out there and treating them as individuals, but, having them be a cohesive unit and pulling together, which I've witnessed firsthand the past couple of years. you know, like I said, this group of guys is already up and running and doing a great job of that.
11 seasons on the mound playing-wise as a pitcher in the major leagues. But it's been a while now that you've been in a coaching or evaluating position. How long does it take to really make that adjustment to be able to teach what you've learned over the years and had success with when you played?
Well, I think it's building a trust with each individual. Like I said, you know, they have different personalities, and some guys need to be reached a different way. You know, some guys want a lot of information. Some guys don't want as much. And that comes down to each individual. You know, so I think with my personality and how I can relate to a player, you know, it definitely helps, with that scenario. So, you know, like I said, it's a group that already does a great job of being ready physically and mentally. And, you know, I'm just there to make sure that the guys are already on track, stay on track. And, you know, when a guy is struggling with something, you know, being able to talk to him about certain things, you know, like I said, having experienced certain things in my career, good and bad, obviously.
All right, that's new Indians bullpen coach Jason Bure with Jim Rosenhaus recently on Tribe Talk. Wanted to bring you that. We found out he got the job last week, but we hadn't had a chance to hear from him. So I wanted to hear from Jason Bure, the new Indians bullpen coach. He takes over for Kevin Cash, who's the new bullpen, who's not the new bullpen coach, he's the new manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. Wanted to tell you this before we get out of here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Spring training right around the corner, the season right around the corner. No better way to get you ready for that than Tribe Fest. Don't forget, Tribe Fest going on down at Progressive Field on Saturday, January 24th, and Sunday, January 25th, 2 days. They'll have two sessions on Saturday, one long session on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun, a great opportunity for you to get the kids down to Progressive Field at a time where you normally wouldn't. Get to check out Progressive Field, the home clubhouse. They have autograph opportunities. We'll be doing some radio shows from there, so make sure you're down there at Tribe Fest. That's next Saturday, January 24th, and Sunday, January 25th. Try to make your way down there. It's a great opportunity. Indians.com, your best place to purchase tickets for that. I know you can get them cheaper online right now than you would pay at the door at Progressive Field. All right, that's going to do it for us in this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Before you know it, it'll be Indians Spring Training Weekly. Spring training right around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report to Goodyear, Arizona on Thursday, February 19th. That's going to do it for this show. Have a great rest of your night, a great rest of your week, and stay safe out there all along the Cleveland Indians radio network.
This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby, bye-bye.
Swing and a long drive, deep right field, forget about it.